Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, it's good to be here. I hope you had a good weekend. I had a great weekend, but I also had a disturbing weekend. We're going to do a full Money Monday today because it is March 1st with our good friend David Fisher, who brings his expertise to the show every week. And sometimes people will say, hey, Steve, what's with the why do you have like talk financial stuff and stock market and precious metals? Why do you do that on a regular basis? I would just simply refer you to the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, where we find a lot about money and possessions because God knows our heart full well. And for most of us, we struggle with it. Maybe you struggle with it because you have a fair amount of it, or maybe because you are working too much to acquire it, or we put it on a pedestal, or we allow it to define how we see ourselves. So we've got a lot of heart issues with money and possessions, and that's why the Bible talks about it a lot. And that's why we talk about it regularly. So we're going to do a full Money Monday. It is the first Monday of the month with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website is always landmarkgold.com. But I did want to just say something real briefly. Let's all make sure we're in prayer for our nation, for our nation's leaders, for what's going on in Washington, D.C. I was up there over the weekend with our two daughters, which was awesome. Huge blessing. Lousy weather, but we had a lot of fun. But it was also kind of sad and depressing to be in Washington, D.C. I've never seen so few people there. And I've never seen our nation's capital surrounded by a couple of different layers of fencing and wire fencing, literally twisted wire, laser wire, like wire stuff on top of the fence all the way around, literally for blocks. We were going to take our scooters and cruise around the Capitol and go around to see the Supreme Court, but you can't. You literally have to go three blocks this way or three blocks that way. It was really sad. That's a sad state of affairs to see our nation's capital like that. So let's make sure we're staying in prayer for those in authority over us, according to the scriptures, because they certainly do need it. And I just wanted to just encourage all of us, challenge all of us one more time on that one. But that being said, let's get to a full Money Monday. A lot going on there. Even though, David Fisher, welcome back. Thank you for your time. I'm glad you're here. Stocks are up today. It took a big jump up about 603 points. And so we got a lot of things to talk about. But how are you?
I'm disturbed, but I'm doing, you know, this month is March Madness month. I don't know. We never talked about that before, ever.
No, I mean, other than the fact that it is from a basketball standpoint, but I think it's always March Madness in this country anymore.
It is. It's the Final Four. This is March Madness. I'm not talking sports for a second. Although, yeah, you know, everybody thinks March Madness, the Final Four, we're talking basketball. I will say this, though. Everybody has a ticket to the Final Four. I'm not buying it, but everybody's going to buy it. Everybody's forced to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm probably throwing all these twists at everybody. Let me just cut to the chase and help you understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the financial Final Four. Mm-hmm. What the Fed is going to do, what interest rates are going to do, where we have inflation, what's going on in the stock market. It is insane what's going on in this environment. It is a madness, and that's the Final Four I think we're going to focus on today. I don't think March Madness is going to stop though in March, though, with the financial Final Four. I think it's going to go on for a while.
No, and that's why, you know, I was mentioning talking about praying for our nation, we need to pray for the financial world as well, because there's a whole lot of mess going on out there. Tasha on Facebook Live, it's MS Awareness Month. So these are things that we need to be aware of and be about our Father's business as we pray for these things and engaging things. But obviously today, you know, we'll kind of focus on all of these things. And so you come off today, David. I mean, I'm looking at it going, wow, you know, the stock market's up 603 points. Woo! But when you look at last week, not very pretty. You're on Monday and then you're down at 31,000 and it gets up and then it's going to a lot of red on the way after that. So how do we look at that? What happened last week? Are we in a bubble? Help us to understand what's going on.
Well, let's take me out of it and let's go to some third-party people like Graham Sumners. He writes about this and he's been spot on. I subscribed to his newsletter. He said last week on Friday, the bloodbath is here. What comes next? He talked about the S&P dropping almost 2.5%. The NASDAQ fell over 3.5%. The big question is the selling over? Why did it go down? Fears of inflation. We'll get into that in a second. But he says it's just starting. We're not done. But he says, look at Tesla. That could be a key to the leader of where we're going, because it's extremely popular with Wall Street and extremely popular with individual investors. And it's a great leading indicator for the broader market, and it has pretty much led the charge. But when it goes backwards, the market does that too. So Tesla just on Friday broke down the 50-day moving average. This is opening the door for hitting the 200-day moving average, which means we're going lower, which would put it around $500 a share. But it's already down 25% this last month, or $2 billion was lost.
Wow.
What he's saying is, when you look at the technical side of things, now at the NASDAQ, that's the support level, is around 12,000. The S&P support is around just over 3,500. Obviously, we're above those numbers. The S&P is at 3901, so that's a 400-point drop is what he's saying we could see. He summarizes it in saying we could either grind our way lower to those points, or we could do a full free fall, which remains to be seen, but the odds are greatly, and he used the word in bold letters, greatly, favor that the next 10% will be a downward side for stocks. And he's a stock guy, he's saying this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just be careful putting all your eggs in that basket.
Yeah, and you got to be really careful with that. We talk about diversification all the time. That should be a common refrain, no matter who's helping you understand what's going on with your retirement money and stuff. I mean, diversification should be a regular part of our lives, and especially when it comes to finances. But also, so you look at somebody like a stockbroker, but also you quote pretty often here on the show, David, and we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Billionaires and billionaire hedge fund managers, I mean, there's a reason these people are wealthy, and there's a reason they manage an enormous amount of money. So what are they saying? What are they warning about? What kind of market corrections in any kind of breaking news there? We'll be on a break here in about 30 seconds, but we'll keep talking about that when we come back.
Well, Paul Singer, pretty incredible track record. 44 years he's been a hedge fund manager. He has had a 13% average return of annualized gains. That's just phenomenal. He is saying inflation is here, and it's going to spread. In fact, he said there's trouble ahead is what he signals. Bill Ackerman, he's the head of Pershing Square.
Yeah.
He said we will see inflation spike in the middle of this year. It's already starting to happen.
The I word. We're talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. It is Monday, March 1st, so that means we are doing a full Money Monday show with our good friend David Fisher, who brings his expertise to help us understand this kind of the wild world of finance, not just what's going on in the market, but what's going on in banking, domestic, international, our debt load in this country, which continues to move to higher and higher numbers and just nightmare proportions, which is not abnormal, unfortunately, around the world. And then trying to take, obviously, a biblical perspective on the whole thing. And David helps us do that each Monday. LandmarkGold.com is his website. And brother in Christ, and just really appreciate you bringing your expertise so regularly to the show, David. It's always a blessing. And you're out of here, though, for a few weeks, right? You and your family get to go on vacation, and that's awesome. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. So everything's, I don't want to say a rat race, but it's pretty busy right now. It's busy as it is, and it's busy even more than normal.
Yeah, it's always a challenge. And when you're a business owner, it's always a challenge to try to take it. You need a vacation from getting ready to take a vacation.
It's kind of like it, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's really difficult. But I'm commanding you as your brother in Christ. I do not want to hear from you for a couple of weeks. So I don't care what happens in the market. Just enjoy your time with your family and get out of Dodge and go rest and enjoy that blessing. But we were talking about billionaires, and it's so important to listen to them because they're that wealthy and they control that much for a reason. And you were starting to talk about what some of them are talking about, and none of this is really good. There's a lot of warnings out there.
Well, there's many more. We could spend a whole show on it. There's so many people coming out of the woodwork that are are either well-to-do billionaires or very highly respected individuals that run, you know, major banks in the United States or other hedge funds. Of course, most hedge fund managers are billionaires.
Yep.
There's this belief system that's coming out saying we have inflation. It's here. It's not if we will have it. It is already here.
Yeah, and so the question becomes, and I know a lot of people struggle with this one, because there's a whole lot of folks that just, you know, they might have some retirement, they might have some 401k that's out there, but they don't really understand kind of all the nuts and bolts that go into it. We look at it every once in a while. But whenever we hear the I word, whenever we're hearing about inflation, what should our reaction be as investors of any level?
Well, inflation as a whole is the any asset that you hold is appreciating in value. But here's where it goes negative. If inflation is really bad for stocks, if you look at the 70s when we had inflation, interest rates were 14 to 15%. The Dow went up 9%. You hedged yourself against that. Gold went up 500%. Silver went twice as much, over 1,000%.
Wow.
Why? Because we had a high debt that was unmanageable, so the Fed had to inflate our way down to reality and get the debt in line with the GDP. So we didn't stop spending. We kept spending, but that's how they dealt with it back then. So now they're saying it's going to be similar to that. And so, in fact, there's a couple of people, we'll get into this, that they're saying it's going to be worse than the 70s.
Gee.
I can't imagine that.
I can't imagine that either. And with the students that I have in my government and civics class, when I try to explain to them that back in those days when we had gas lines and we had these crazy interest rates and home loans were, you know, 15+% and trying to get them to understand that. Then once they do, they're just like, oh, my goodness, they have a hard time relating to that. But to hear that some people think we actually would be back in that kind of territory is just shocking. So when we look, we mentioned it briefly, but when we look back at last week, with the downturn there, but there was an uptick in yields. Help us to understand what happened there.
Yeah, so this is really a key here. It's if we understand this, you'll understand the whole picture. So the our country passes bills to spend money. Where do we get that from? Revenue. But when there's not enough revenue, the country has to issue a treasury bill, and investors on Wall Street buy it. That's how the system works, and it has worked that way for decades. I've been saying we're going to come to the place when foreigners will not buy our treasuries.
Right.
And that happened last week, in my understanding and all my studying, for the first time in history. What am I talking about? The 7-year treasury auction happened on Friday. It was utterly catastrophic. The bid for that investors are willing to buy a treasury at, in other words, what they're willing to pay, is called the bid. It tumbled 15%, 14.9 to be exact, from 2.305 down to 2.045. So people were not willing to pay for debt at the level that the government thought the debt was worth, and they wanted to pay less. The bid collapsed 15%. That is, in my understanding, has never happened. On top of that, the biggest disturbing thing is, when you look at what you call the internals, in other words, who is buying the debt, there was no foreigner buying our debt at the 7-year treasury auction. To me, that's the first time that's ever happened in history. Nobody showed up. They didn't want to buy our debt. That is scary.
That is
disturbing. And those are very conservative words. It is going to, if this is the new trend, and I said we would get here eventually, if this is the trend, we're going to have utter major financial problems, because that is how you fund the debt. So as a result of what that happened, yields went up to say, hey, we'll attract more money, we'll pay you more. That's what this was all about. It's not fixed. Obviously, the Dow and all the markets are up today, but this didn't fix anything on Friday. This didn't fix any paying off any debt. It just, we blew through it is what happened.
Yeah, because when you hear that, essentially, when we talk about treasuries, that's the government saying, hey, we'll give you an IOU, you give us money, we'll pay you back 2.5% or whatever. And then you all of a sudden you get foreign countries that are like, we're not willing to issue you a new credit card. We're not going to extend you any debt. We're not going to buy your stuff because we think it's not worth it. And that's shocking, because all of a sudden, if we don't have any foreign investors, then who's going to who's going to issue us a credit card, to use really simplistic language? And that gets scary really, really fast. So what about the Fed and all of this? We end up talking about the Fed. Now I got Janet Yellen back, and it's just it's hard to understand because the Fed's monkeying with everything. But they say we're not going to have inflation, but all these billionaire hedge fund managers say we are. So which is it?
Well, the market's also saying we have inflation. The Fed's completely wrong. I mean, just like TJ has said, the Fed is the fire department and the arsonist.
Right,
and
right.
In 2005, let's put it into perspective, Bernanke was the head of the governors of the Federal Reserve, and he said in an interview, the moderator was interviewing, saying that the housing market is in a bubble, it's going to burst. You know, this is 2005. This is going to be a real issue for the economy. And Bernanke responded and says, I guess I don't buy your premises. It's pretty unlikely possible. So he was completely wrong. That's strike one against the Fed. Janet Yellen said this recently. I did not see and did not appreciate what the risks were. I didn't see any of that coming until it happened. She's referring to 2008. She said it a while ago. So you would think that they would have seen it. And today, well, 5 days ago, Jerome Powell insisted. He says the Fed does not see any indication of inflation. He said inflation is still, quote, soft. I go, really? Oil is up at $61. Corn is up 40% from last year. Soybeans are up 55%. The Commodity Bureau Index is up 75% since April. Copper is at a 10-year high. Lumber is at all-time high. I mean, you've added up all the money that's ever been printed. 40% of all the money that's ever been printed was printed last year, and it went into the system. It caused inflation.
That's insane.
This is what I call monkey business. The Fed says, I hear no inflation, I see no inflation, and I speak no inflation. Yet the world, it says, it's screaming, there is inflation. The Fed is completely wrong.
David, we'll be right back. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It is a full Money Monday today with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, their website, landmarkgold.com. And I wish this was more fun. Every once in a while, we get to laugh and we crack some jokes and we have some fun. And then on our Money Monday updates, David, we always start with a passage of scripture, which is healthy and encouraging. But as you go down this road, let me just ask you, this wasn't part of our conversation today, but for you personally, as a follower of Jesus Christ, somebody that's helping other people to understand the marketplace and try to be good stewards of whatever it is that the Lord has given them financially, how do you kind of keep your wits about you when we're dealing with so many things that are really upsetting and kind of troubling? How do you kind of work through that, David, as a follower of Jesus Christ in a very messed up and broken world?
I love my country. My dad served with President Reagan, so that tells you my background.
Yeah.
I'm disturbed. I wrestle with it. I never thought we'd get, in 26 years of doing what I'm doing right now, I never thought we'd get to this place where I'd ever see that there was not enough people buying our debt, or no foreigners, you know, coming to the table to buy our debt. Never thought I'd ever see that. So I am not pulling my hair out, but I'm not lost my peace, but it is disturbing. So I have to, you know, work through this, just like anyone else has to work through this. And I'm called, as your whole website says, and your program, I'm called to action. Also, personally, I have to do something about it. And when we're given knowledge, that then we're held accountable, and I am personally held accountable. That's why it's really important for, I quote, facts based upon what other people who are much smarter than I, if billionaires are saying it, you know, that's there's a lot of weight there, but it's disturbing. It really is.
Yeah, that's something we need to get educated. We need to know facts and figures. We need to try to understand what's happening in the world around us. But we also need to pray. We need to pray specifically for wisdom, as James talks about in his letter, is that you know, if you lack wisdom, pray and ask for it. And God would gladly grant it, but we also have to remember that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And if you're doing these things on your own, if you never talk to your advisor or your stockbroker, whoever you work with, if you never have conversations, if you're not seeking after information, that's a huge problem, especially in this market and in this day and time. And so there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, which is why we continue to have these conversations. And sorry, I threw that curveball at you, but I really appreciate
you. No, you're fine.
Talking about that, and I know most of us struggle with that one way or another. So when it comes to the government's debt, our debt, if foreign countries aren't going to buy it and try to and undergird it through treasuries, then who does? I mean, where does this go if all of a sudden foreign entities like Japan and China and other countries aren't buying our stuff? Then what do we do?
Well, that's the problem. We're finally at the place where I said we would get here. I've said this, you know, on your program about a year ago. I said, we're going to get to this place. Now it's really disturbing that we're here. So Jamie Dimon, in December, the head of the CEO, J.P. Morgan, he said this, and I was blown away by his quote in December, quote, I wouldn't touch treasuries with a 10-foot pole, end quote. I guess foreigners are following this very wise banker's advice. In fact, I think a lot of people are following his advice, and that's where the system breaks down. The emperor has no clothes now.
Yeah.
Because this is how this has worked for decade upon decade upon decade upon decade. Now we're at the place of impasse where it's not going to work. So, you know, I mean, we haven't even added the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, the
right.
$2 trillion Green Deal, the $1.92 trillion Medicare for all. I can just keep going on. $2 trillion for wiping away student debt, $2 trillion stimulus infrastructure, and $5.5 trillion is the budget this year. That's $14+ trillion. That's where we're at. It's insane. We were $5.5 trillion last year. We're going to quadruple it almost. It's totally insane. But this is what this administration wants.
Yeah, yeah.
So we either got to have a default, which I don't think we'll have, or a massive, massive, massive inflation, or they got to seize our money through a bail-in. This is why it's imperative now to have gold and silver in your portfolio. Never before, because we've never been at this level where they have not bought our, where no foreigners showed up and didn't buy our debt. So gold and silver protects you from an inflationary environment. In the 70s, it went up 500% in gold, 1,000% in silver, and the Dow only went up 9% in 9 years. It certainly will protect you from a bail-in because they can't seize your money. Am I saying put all your money into gold and silver? Absolutely not. Just don't leave all your money in paper either. But there's a balance there.
Yeah, there's a balance there, which is one of the things that we have to get educated on, which is why David joins us on a regular basis. So, you know, mentioning gold and silver and trying to understand, you know, a pullback with gold and silver is a bear market versus a bull market versus rates. How do we look at that? I just want to make sure we understand how we approach that when we talk precious metals, because I know maybe 5, 6, 10 years ago, David, when on radio, on social media, whatever, somebody would bring up gold and they'd have all kinds of crazy thoughts because there was a lot of, you know, there were some shucksters, some shysters out there and some hucksters and all that stuff.
Sure.
But now it's talked about regularly. It is a regular part of the conversation, whether we're talking about individuals, stockbrokers, investment advisors, banks, hedge fund managers. I mean, it's amazing when you look at kind of mainstream players that normally include now talking about gold and silver. So how should we look at it and how do we approach it and what can we expect from that? Because it looks like it's kind of teetering. Is it going to be a bear market? Is it going to be a bull market? So speak to that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. No market goes straight up. The ones that do, you don't want to be involved in because when it does correct, it comes straight down.
Yeah.
In the 70s, when we had a massive bull market in gold and silver, we had a 50% retraction in both markets.
Wow.
And people said, don't ever buy it. It's all over with. I was not in the industry then, but that's what the old timers tell me. I've heard, you know, when gold broke up through $300 in 2002, people said, you know, the Wall Street Journal on the front page said, gold has lost its luster. Stay away. It was the very bottom of the market at 253, excuse me. When gold hit $500, they said, I'll never breach the previous high at 850. When it went to 850, they'll say they'll never go through 1,000. They went through 1,000. At 1,000, people said it's going to crash in half. It went to 1225. It went all the way up to 1905. People just said it'll never happen. Gold moved 6.5 times, and the naysayer said it's never going to do a thing. I hear it all the time. We are in a long-term bull market, and you will have these types of pullbacks. There will be a time when it will crack and go bear, but we're not even close to the bear market because they're printing all the money right now and they're spending all the debt. When those two things come to a fruition and they start to slow down on that, gold and silver were turned from bull to bear, but we're 9 to 10 years away from that because they're not going to solve the problem. They're going to inflate our way out or seize our money. And I think it's going to be inflation is going to be a big key to this, plus a bail-in. I think it's going to be a combination of both, and inflation is going to be really bad.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about bail-ins in a while. So just kind of do a bail-in 101. We got about 3 minutes before we hit the break. But bail-in 101, so people understand what it is, where it's happened, and how it might happen here.
It is the opposite of a bailout. They bailed out Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, General Motors, and AIG. Why? Because those companies would have gone under. It would have been even worse than what we experienced. A bail-in is opposite of a bailout. Nobody comes to the rescue. And they go internal. They seize your accounts. Fox News did an excerpt on this saying, what can they seize? Your 401k, your IRA, any financial product in anywhere in the economy is the exact terminology in this article by Fox News. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, cash in the bank, CDs, treasury bills, you name it, annuities, just about any financial vehicle. They take a portion of it. 56 to 71% is the Wall Street Journal article, what they would happen for America. There's been 8 bail-ins historically in 8 countries. We saw some double bail-ins like Greece. That's why there was rioting. And so it was established in 2010 because in the aftermath of 2008, the government knew it could not bail out the system the next time around. They would have to do a bail-in, and that's why the law was set up.
Yeah, because in Greece, if I remember that correctly, it was literally, didn't they shut down the banks too? So they kind of, you go online, you check your account, it's missing money, and you go to the bank and the doors are closed. Wasn't it kind of that? I mean, it sounded like it was right out of a movie.
Well, that was Cyprus in 2013. Banks closed on a Friday. They never opened up on a Monday, and they were closed for 10 days. You couldn't get your money out of the bank, and ATM lines were jammed, and eventually those machines ran out of money. So, yeah, that's why I encourage people to have a little bit of cash on hand. Even though we're going cashless, right now it makes sense to have some money outside of the bank. I'm not saying pull all your money out of the bank. Don't do that. But have some cash on hand, a couple months' worth.
Yeah, and again, this I think for a lot of people, David, and I, you know, you and I have been having these conversations for a few years now, so I don't freak out as much as I used to. But it's pretty sobering to hear this kind of stuff. And I think a lot of people are probably, I'm just going to ask you, and we're coming up on a break, in your conversations with people that get a hold of you and your team, do you think most people are beginning to kind of be sober-minded and say, listen, this is all looking like some really bad stuff's going to happen here. 5 years ago, I didn't think like this, but today I do. I want to ask you about that. I'm going to put you on hold for one more time because we're up against the break, and I want to talk about that a little bit. And then again, some more about how do you utilize precious metals like gold and silver when we're in these rocky kind of circumstances that we're in. This is Steve Noble, a Full Money Monday today with David Fisher from Landmark Capital. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, his website, landmarkgold.com, landmarkgold.com. And David, just on the break with Facebook Live with my friends there, I was talking about I started to read them a little bit from an article that was in The Atlantic all the way back in March of 2013, everything you need to know about the Cyprus bank disaster, and coming in and taking just like that. This is right in the first opening paragraph. Imagine you woke up one day to discover your bank account had been raided by another country's government, I would add, or your own. Just like that, $1 in every 16 of your supposedly safe money is gone, and if you're wealthy enough to have more savings, it could be 1 in 10. Is it a nightmare? The opening days of a Kafka story, a Bond villain plot to start a bank run and bring down the government? And I'd read that now and go, no, this actually happened. And I could just hear the PR campaign, David. I'm sure you could too. Listen, we're in really bad shape. We had to do something. We're all in this together. So you may have noticed, I'm sure you did, in the last 24 hours, this is what we did, and we need to survive together. We're all in this together, kind of a post 9/11 type rah-rah, sis, boom, bah. And we'll get this back to you, but we need it right now to right the ship. And once we get the ship righted, we'll give you your money back and everything will be fine. And it sounds ridiculous, but it isn't, is it?
You know, the FDIC doesn't have the money, too. I want to make sure everybody understands that. And, yes, they can go in and legally seize our money. I mean, you can Google it on the Internet type in a white paper between the Bank of England and the FDIC. It explains the bail-in. In fact, it says the term bail-in 19 times in that white paper.
Jeez.
So our government is admitting this is the route that they're going to be have to taking. It's one of two options. Inflation is the other one. But just this idea of people, I hear this a lot. Well, what about the FDIC? They're insured. Aren't they insuring the whole thing? Okay. Well, where does the FDIC get their funding? They get it from the government. And in 2008, they didn't have enough money. They only had $19 billion on hand, which sounds like a lot of money. But for 2008, that's nothing compared to what the banking problem was.
Right.
They have a borrowing authority of $30 billion. But on May 9th, President Obama, in 2009, he gave them the authority, raised it to $100 billion, and gave them a temporary bridge loan of $500 billion. And it still was not enough. Hundreds of banks went under. So if the government doesn't have the money to give the FDIC, the FDIC doesn't have the money to protect you. This is what you have to understand. It is a shell game, and we're at the place. And I'm not against our country. I'm not anti-government or any of that thing. So let's all not go there. I love my country. That's why we're talking this way. And I'm not a conspiracy theory guy and the Chicken Little, the sky is falling. But we've never come to this place with what happened on Friday, ever, to my knowledge. And that's the scary thing. We are at the place where the emperor has no clothes now.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's where we're going to face some major things getting ready to happen.
Yeah, and that's where we need to be willing to look at that and say, yeah, you know what? The emperor is actually naked. I mean, a lot of times we don't want to do that. People will call you a conspiracy theorist. You're spreading fear, yada, yada, yada. Or you're just trying to sell something. But now we got to be willing to admit that. And that's the shocking thing about all this, is that it's actually happening. And this is real. So when you look at, because our buddy TJ is on Facebook Live with us today, and he was like, the Fed would love to have a digital currency. Gee, I wonder why. Because that just gives them more access to what we have, knowing that sooner they have to know, David, that sooner or later this they're going to have to do it, because you just can't get the math to work. You have to go inward instead of outward. And when I can't get money from my friends, I'm going to steal it from my parents when you're a little kid or whatever. And it's just shocking that I hope people start to wake up. So what do you do in terms of like gold and silver, using that as a hedge against all these kind of nightmare scenarios? What role does it play? How do you use it effectively?
Well, just with that digital currency, Janet Yellen said on Friday that a digital dollar would help the U.S. keep its allies, China, in check. That's not the reason why we're having this. I mean, we're going cashless. Is where the Bible talks about a cashless society. We're going cashless now, and it might even start not just in our lifetime. It might start this year. That's what the Fed would like to happen. So they're behind the curve. How does gold and silver, if you want to be have a portion of your money outside of the, quote, system, you're not doing anything illegal. You're just being a wise steward and diversifying the portfolio. If you have all your eggs in one basket, you're going to get scrambled eggs. Don't put all your money into gold and silver, okay? Don't put all your money in paper either. But a portion to 7, a portion to 8, the scriptures say, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. I don't know what's going to happen, but we are definitely on the cusp of something major change. We're seeing it.
Yeah.
It's to ignore it is not being a good steward, the parable of the talents. Don't bury your talent. Do something with it. And a portion of that should, if you believe what you're hearing and this witnesses to your spirit, then you should get some more information. Doesn't mean you have to buy, doesn't mean you have to commit, but learn about it. And that's why we have, you know, a lot of literature, a lot of written material to help you. And we interact with people. There's no pressure ever working with our company. And that is the number one thing I want people to hear. There is absolutely no pressure. Get committed to yourself. Don't get committed to us. Get committed to the Lord, committed to your finances, commit to yourself, and you will figure out, because he'll give you wisdom. But gold and silver is going to play a vital role, especially if Michael Harnett, the chief investment officer, is correct. He said last week, of Bank of America, the head guy of Bank of America said we could be going the direction of World War I Germany when they had hyperinflation.
Hyperinflation, right.
He said this on his latest flow show. Let me explain what that is. In 1920s, Germany experienced what you call hyperinflation, a lot of inflation, in other words. And in 1915, before this, the highest denomination of German marks was 100 marks, equivalency to 100 U.S. dollar. That was the highest paper note. By October 1923, notes that were common were 100 billion marks. Okay? The finance minister can print them fast enough. What did it mean to a person living in Germany? Well, before all this happened in 1950, if you had 50,000 marks in the bank, you could have lived off and retired on the interest. 8 years later, postage cost 2 million marks. The 50,000 marks in the bank were close to worthless. The
right.
Postage cost more than that. What happened to gold and silver? Silver was 12 marks before the big printing press happened. It was 543 billion marks later at the end of it. Gold was 170 marks before the printing press. It was 87 trillion marks later. I'm reading from a book called Economic Solutions that writes about history. These are factual data. So gold and silver will protect you from a bail-in. Gold and silver will protect you from inflation. It will protect you from hyperinflation. It's not something you can go to the grocery store or fill your car up with gas. It's something that's going to be something that you will probably need if we have inflation or a bail-in. It's going to be a must-needed thing in the portfolio.
Yeah, and that's one thing if it's some Yahoo with a podcast out of 800,000 podcasts out there that's talking about Germany and hyperinflation, but we're talking about one of the head voices at Bank of America.
Yes.
Talking about, I mean, that's crazy that you would think somebody in an institution like that would be talking about hyperinflation that we saw in Germany prior to World War II. And you go, okay, that we should pay attention to that.
He said it on his Flow show, the latest Flow show, which was the one I'm referring to. I'm reading from a February 15th article called B of A, hints that Weimar 2.0 could be coming. So I don't want to mention, you know, get into depth about the term Weimar because it could be very offensive, and I don't want to go that direction.
No,
I respect people and the Jewish community. Some of my dear brothers are Jewish, and some of my brothers, people who I want to be my brothers, are Jewish. And anyway, that's a side note. I don't want to get sidetracked. But the bottom line is, this is the head of Bank of America, the chief investment officer, saying this. Yeah. I never thought I'd ever hear such a thing.
Yeah, it really, really is amazing. So if people want to get more information, you talk about education a lot, which I really appreciate. That's what we try to do on this show in as many different ways as I can, on as many different subjects as I can. But what's the best way to get educated? Because I know for a lot of people, David, it takes some time. It can be a little intimidating. You and I talked for hours before we ever did radio together because I didn't know anything about precious metals and didn't want to mislead anybody. So what's the best way for people to do that if they're interested?
Well, if they call our company the old-fashioned way, I'll give the number out, 844-879-8882. I'll say it again. This is not an infomercial, though. I don't want to sound like that. But if you're writing 844-879-8882, you can get an investment packet from us. You can interact and have conversation, ask your questions to one of my representatives, and you're going to learn a lot. Doesn't mean you're going to invest. You're committed to learning. That's all that is. And you also can go to our website at landmarkgold.com, and you can learn some things there. Obviously, a lot of stuff that you and I have done together on our website from years ago. So we've been partnering close to 6 years now.
God, so get out of here. Really?
Yeah, we're coming up on 6 years. That's crazy,
just,
isn't it?
That's just crazy. That's just shocking to me. And for anybody that hasn't figured it out yet, David and I are good friends and just started out as brothers in Christ, but over all these years talking about all this stuff and then ministering to each other on a personal level with the things that we've gone through. And as things get more dark and more difficult and more challenging, everybody, we need to lean into the body of Christ even more. So when you have some sources for education that also has somebody that's got the Holy Spirit, let's take advantage of that. Let's care for one another. That's the way a body is supposed to work. I appreciate you. I love you, my brother. Enjoy your vacation, and we'll get together on the opposite side of that. But God bless you, and thanks for all your help, David. Have a great time.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you guys.
You too, pal. We'll talk to you again soon. And David Fisher, landmarkgold.com is his website. Really, really appreciate him. And you have to talk to a lot of different people. There's wisdom and a multitude of counselors. And that's why I try to have a lot of different people on the show to bless us all. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.